And it's another edition of Mathrop Spears Broadsides. This time we're at January 26th, 2025. Mostly an abbreviated version. I'm still a bit under the weather, but I've been out of it. And you're going to hear a lengthy flashback, almost 5 hours long, from April 27th, 2008, as punishment, or I should say as compensation for not getting the much of contemporary news. You get a little, but not a lot. And I'll be describing that flashback shortly, but first, of course, a little familiar music for you.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So, first, a couple of announcements that do have to do with the next few days. If you're listening to this on Sunday the 26th, it's People First. That's the group that's taken over the Armory, Emergency Shelter Use, the Santa Cruz Free Guide, and I guess the Overlook. It's part of the Armory called that. That's run by Evan Morrison and other folks. Don't have a lot of good or bad reports about that, though. Maybe getting some more in the next few days, with raids apparently intended or announced by the police, and reported by homeless folks living in tents on Coral Street and in on Hill's Path next to Highway 1, right before the bridge that leads to the intersection of 1 and 9. This comes not from direct conversations I've had, but rather with conversations, secondary conversations with people who are out there talking to folks who are Huff members. I have not been at the last two Huff meetings, haven't been really well enough to risk infecting the gang. So I don't even know what I have, but I think it's allaying, disappearing, whatever. So that's good. But in any case, the news is not good. There are these reports coming out of Monday sweeps at Coral Street at 8 a.m. And in fact, activist Athena has called for a show of folks to be supportive, to be helpful, to document, again, what she describes as fundamentally the removal of people with no place to go. In spite of claims by people like Jeremy Leonard that there are adequate shelters for people who want to get into them, that has not proven the case in many instances, or at least a number of them, according to the reports I've heard directly, and that she has as well. But there's also some indication that more people have been let into the Armory recently, though no clear news about Coral Street and, I guess, 1220 River, place which I understand Jeremy has tighter control over. But again, I can't speak that. I got a call from Jeremy the other day, angrily denouncing me in the wee hours of the morning, telling me that I was wrong. He was not the manager of at least the Overlook and the Armory, and he was going to sue me, and he was contacting his lawyer because I suggested that people should phone in reports about whether people have been successful in getting assistance from Jeremy, and I named him by name as the gatekeeper, apparently, who is considered to be the gatekeeper. And that's, haven't heard much either positive or negative since that flyer was distributed, at least in the more recent distribution. So I can't diss Jeremy, and I also can't praise him. He's welcome to, I've told him to come on this show and talk about his perspective, how he's doing, what his stats are. He's declined to do so for the last 5 years, quite a time anyway. So the news also is there's apparently a freeze warning, and that may have given the excuse for extreme weather shelters to open at night. Not during the day, mind you, when things can still be cold, and warming centers in other cities may be open, but not in Santa Cruz. Saturday, they began to be open from 8 in the evening to 8 this morning, Sunday morning, if you're listening to this on Sunday the 26th. And of course, they will be, they're claiming they'll be open tonight, Monday, Sunday night into Monday, and then Monday night into Tuesday. And that's only from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. And that's going to be at the Santa Cruz Vets Hall, which is right next to the main post office in Santa Cruz, if you know it, which you probably do if you're a regular listener to this. And it's also in Watsonville at their Vets Hall. And there's also a protest against Chevron's involvement in, I believe it's in Gaza, but this the email I got was incomplete, but it is happening, the protest, in case you're interested, 4 p.m. on the 31st, which is Friday, coming up this week. And of course, there's going to be a regular Huff meeting. I will likely be there, assuming my health such as it is holds. And that's at 1:30 to 3:30 at the Sub Rosa Cafe next to the bike church, as it usually is. And you're welcome to come and contribute or observe or drink coffee and ponder the whole situation. So I understand Thomas, a Huff member, is still putting together his tips, which is going to be something between a fanzine or just sort of a weekly, or a monthly or quarterly update on real free resources that are available, whether there be bathrooms or places where you can get coffee relatively free or cheaply, or other, you know, places sympathetic to homeless folks. One hopes that we will not be deluged, or these places won't be deluged by folks that will then make them less amenable to folks outside. But he thinks it's an important resource to have. There is a thing called the Santa Cruz Free Guide, as I mentioned earlier, which it just lists, as city publications do, although this is not specifically a city publication. It comes from People First, which is, again, the Evan Morrison group, which I think as after some Huff pressure was updated recently, or maybe just they finally got around to it. I don't know if the printed version has been updated. The online version was updated slightly, but Huff has not checked out the different claims of the Santa Cruz Free Guide. We can't give you any good information. In fact, we'd like to get it. If you have had positive or negative experience with the various resources suggested, and right now, of course, the most basic resources, such as shelter and storage, are just not available to the average homeless person. They're available to some, and you might even say a significant minority, and I think that's true, and certainly more so than decades ago. But it's also true that there apparently is going to be cutbacks. This is, again, a rumor. I don't know how accurate this is. With the death of Reboli, of the Reboli family shelter, there is now more money being taken in government grants, according to, this is Thomas's analysis, who spent some time in the various programs, and I don't know exactly what his source is, but this is what he last told me. He thinks it's going to be more tightly controlled. The number of hours, I should say, the number of months you'll be able to stay there will be limited at the at the Coral Street shelter anyway, maybe at the Armory, I don't know. So there is that to think about. Bread and Roses is still operating at the Dragon's Head Bridge, one that goes across to what was the Duck Pond and is now, I don't know, a place without a pond and a place without ducks. I think they've reportedly, without any discussion, according to a post on Facebook by Grant Wilson, it's gone. The pond has been drained and it's no longer a pond. You can now mob the stage, just walk onto the Duck Pond stage. Again, it's kind of depressing that this is being done, angers some, without any kind of real public input or discussion. But that's the trademark of the city manager, Matt Huffaker, and the Santa Cruz Shitty Council, which is run by Fred Keeley, or he's the mayor anyway. Starbucks, at least nationally, has taken back its policy of open bathrooms and allowing people to sit in the store, sit in the cafe, I should say, even if they aren't purchasing, which they did after a scandal involving a discrimination against African Americans, probably someplace other than Santa Cruz, although I wouldn't pass local Santa Cruz authorities, mostly I would say though against homeless folks, and not just limited to a Starbucks, you know. I myself was arrested back in 90, I think it was, for sitting in with homeless people at the Denny's, and we got the Denny's to change its policy, temporarily anyway, about admitting and serving homeless people, or people who looked homeless. So I'd like to hear any reports from what's going on. If you hear that Starbucks is maintaining a relatively reasonable policy as far as letting people linger who haven't got anywhere else to go, that would be, or alternately, if they're not, I'd like to hear about that. And the number to call is the Huff Line. Huff is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and it's 831-423-4833. 423-4833. Another point made by activist Athena is that there's a point in time count slated for Thursday. That's the one that kind of specifies and lets different agencies get grants indicating here's the number of homeless people who are around here, therefore you got to do something so they don't mob the grocery stores and start sleeping in every neighborhood they can. Warehouse them somewhere and frighten the rest of them out of town. That's my somewhat cynical view of what they do here and elsewhere. But this is a point of time count, or PIT, on Thursday, which is also preceded, she notes with some irony, maybe sarcasm, that it's preceded by these sweeps at Coral Street and elsewhere starting. They actually started them on the 13th and the 20th, and they're continuing them, I guess, tomorrow, the 27th, if you're listening to this on the 26th. Hell's Trail and also Coral Street is what she mentioned. She said there's mixed reports of how well the Vets Hall extreme weather shelter is happening, so it's kind of a mixed. She doesn't diss it, but she doesn't praise it either. She does point out that Jeremy has been bringing people up to the Armory since the sweep, some of them. But the area next to the library and the parking lot there where people have been sleeping overnight, part of the RV Tier 2 program, so-called, have been driven away pretty clearly, particularly the leadership there that was trying to assert some basic rights for people, Jesse and Stephanie, as I understand it. Though they're still around, so maybe they'll be able to give us some reports as to what's going on there and elsewhere. One of the advantages of the library parking lot is there's actually porta potties there people can use. There are some porta potties in town these days that are open, I think, although I have not recently verified. There's the famous Posner poo poo machine named after Micah Posner, one time council member and bike advocate who was able to get a kind of porta potty set up at Front Street and Laurel instead of getting the bathrooms open, as one of his more reactionary colleagues was pushing for. I guess it was Pamela Comstock, who I had very little disagreement with on any issue, except I was impressed with and commended her for getting the bathrooms across from New Leaf Market open, the garage bathrooms open 24 hours a day for 6 months. It seemed to me not only just a kindness to folks who are outside, but elderly people, the visitors, I mean, you name it, particularly since it's become harder for, at least since I've been around there, and I haven't been around New Leaf much downtown in Santa Cruz, harder for them to, for you to use their bathrooms. And I guess I skipped this. Bread and Roses is this group that does some breakfasts Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at the Dragon's Head Bridge, which is, again, what leads to the what was once the Duck Pond in San Lorenzo Park from, I guess it's North River Street, or River Street. And that's available in the morning time, although I think they run out of food, I've heard tell from other folks. There was an anti-war protest, or protest in support of those who were striking on campus in the late spring and getting savagely attacked by the university for going against the official line of genocide Joe Biden. You may remember him. And, of course, now we have the new genocider, Trump. Although there is a temporary pause in the genocide in Gaza, it's not a ceasefire. And the kind of collusion that Trump has promised and his experience with Israeli authorities in his last term does not give Palestinians and folks who support justice over there, I think, much hope. It's going to be a pause, and then it's going to be a resumption of the genocide. Although the idea was, and one of the original demands of the Palestinians, groups that were fighting the Israeli occupation, was that there be a real determination for a final ceasefire, and that would be worked out during phase one, which is where some of the prisoners are being exchanged, and Israelis are supposedly withdrawing from some of the major cities like Rafah and Gaza City, and withdrawing, at least establishing corridors so people can get back to the north if they want. I recommend listening to The Gray Zone, Aaron Mate, even Amy Goodman, who's horrible on Ukraine but is fine on Gaza as far as I'm concerned. I guess that shows you where I line up. In any case, there's another report from Athena of a police officers mobbing an empty RV on, I guess it was yesterday, Saturday morning, if you're listening to this on Sunday, which escalated from a road blockage with 6 to 8 cop cars to then 16 cop cars and 2 drones against a vehicle that ended up being empty. The mom inside asked if she could go and urge her spouse or her child, whoever it was, to get out of the vehicle. They wouldn't let her near it. This is according to a witness. I don't have the witness's name. I didn't talk to the witness directly. And that is pretty much what little contemporary report I have, and most of it, as I said, is pretty secondhand, though often my reports are. So, yeah, that's what I got. What we'll describe now, or what I will describe now, is this: the content of this flashback that's coming up, which replays in slightly condensed form the April 27, 2008 show, which was a Sunday show, which included a lot of stuff from the prior show, Thomas Levitt's The Wake-Up Call, which preceded my show for a number of years. He got up real early, and I got up at came in at 9:30. He starts off with me in the studio, going way back to a rather hard to hear audio tape of the Santa Cruz City Council meeting of June 28th, 1988. Which is probably the earliest Santa Cruz City Council meeting that I have any record of, any audio record of, and it's where homeless folks spoke. And as we began to press the city council to grant some minor rights to people not to be ticketed in their vehicles, but to be warned before they were ticketed, because people didn't even know what the law was. And the police were using it selectively, not to go after truckers who are violating the law by sleeping in their cabs, but and there's no reason they shouldn't, because they need to sleep for sure, but using it to go after homeless folks, which is why the law was designed, though they didn't like to use the word homeless in 1978 when they created the law, the current sleeping ban that was has been now replaced by the Camping Standards and Services Ordinance, if I have it correctly. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of people who get airtime on this. Suzanne, a sleeping ticket from Ranger, possibly Ranger Wallace. Sit crime tickets. Danny and Razor Ray, who was then calling himself Buffalo. In-studio guest, Jan Golder, talking about the illegality of action against vehicles because of the inadequacy of parking signs. We got a call from Germany from a fellow named Nick. Horsewoman called in. There's a lot of audio from the April 20th shindig, which took place on the Walnut Street parking lot behind what was then Badass Coffee, became Joe's Pizza. It's currently a vacant building, but it was an event where I think Valerie Corral of Wham threw an event celebrating medical marijuana, and to her credit, supporting students on campus who were doing their events, but not supporting the need for real additional medical marijuana, and they didn't have recreational marijuana legal at that time, but medical marijuana outlets in Santa Cruz. She had a special deal with the city that essentially effectively banned other outlets from 2000 to 2005. And this is 3 years later, so still, I think there was one, or maybe two, Ken Sampson's Club, perhaps, and Lisa Molyneux's Greenway. Then we go down to Ontario, California, in San Bernardino County, Tent City, to get a report from David Bush. We talked to C.J. Stock, a guitarist who is having problems in the hospital and came out, but was still on the streets performing. Craig Canada, an activist, a medical marijuana activist, who still has his website, Palm Springs Bum, if you want to check it out. Steve Argue, on anti-war arms shipments that needed to be stopped to stop the Iraqi, some would call it a genocide even, but the certainly ongoing American occupation and destruction of civilians and the native population there. David Oliver has a long discussion. I don't remember who he was, but he talked a lot at the Wham Fest. Then I checked out cops who were ticketing people at a stop sign. That was Officer Klein, I believe. Liz talks about the Oakland Club, Marijuana Club freeze. There's a Fresno update on the Kincaid decision, which essentially required that they stopped going after homeless people and destroying their property until they had adequate shelter. And that lasted for a number of years, 5 or 10 years. They had a deal that went on for that, and it gradually got chipped away or ignored. And Fresno now has a horrible anti-camping ordinance, which I think I may have mentioned in past shows and will hope to mention again. There was an anti-military recruiting protest up at UCSC. And April 22nd, it was, of that year of 2008, UCSC recruiters off campus. And that's a lot of audio, that's a lot of commentary by me, That's a lot of listening if you choose to listen to it. So pace yourself, do if you want to, and in the meantime, spend more time outside with real people in the community, because these are days of yore. But if they help you to understand days of now, then all the better.